Monday morning, everyone. I hope everyone had as much fun on the weekend as I did. I really was excited to come back here and hopefully finish our business and get back in the real world.
Finish riding the real herd, huh?
Yeah. Instead of gathering in just my cows, I'd like to gather all these in and let's head home for the final roundup, right?
Bring on the final roundup.
It's Monday morning and we'll have a public hearing on Senate Bill 817. And don't let me forget, we'll go into a work session so I can move over for tomorrow.
I won't let you forget.
The senator that chaired this committee won't be in for a while, so we'll have to do the work session tomorrow. Dallas, do you want to talk to us?
Senate Bill 817 came to us from the Senate Special Committee on Public Affairs. It pretty much establishes a task force to look at the cost of operating certain state vehicles, and that the task force then is to report back to the session, to the next session. The staff to the task force is legislative administration. We have Mr. Henderson here to talk about the fiscal. You have both a staff measure summary from the prior committee, and you also have a fiscal that indicates potential fiscal to legislative administration. So we have Mr. Henderson here. We also have people from the Department of Administrative Services who are responsible.
Okay. Mr. Henderson, do you want to come on up and talk to us regarding the fiscal?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dave Henderson, the legislative administrator. The language that you see in your fiscal impact statement is boilerplate language, which was developed consultation between legislative fiscal and legislative administration, indicating the approximate cost of staffing a task force. It would be our intention to absorb that cost within our existing staff and use the continuing staff within legislative administration to staff the task force. So there would be no additional cost to legislative administration beyond our standard operating costs.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Any further questions for Dave?
So that I understand, then there could be some additional, depending upon the final, there could be some additional per diem perhaps, but other than that, the balance of the actual personal services side of it is what you would just absorb, Dave.
Madam Chair and Representative Butler, it is possible that there would be additional per diem, but it would be our anticipation that that would be paid out of the joint committee pool, so that too would be covered by the existing budget.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you for coming here this morning, Dave.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Next we will have Randy. Do you and Bill want to come up together? And Dugan? Mr. Petty, pardon me. You guys have worked with us for so long. The last 6 months, I guess I just can be on a first name basis, but feels comfortable. Good morning.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Randy Hildebrand. I'm the Chief of Staff of Bev Clarno, Senator from Bend. I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 817. I want to thank the folks from DAS that have worked with us over the last 4 months to get to this point. The bill in front of you would simply create an interim task force on motor pool efficiency. Its charge would be to study the true cost of the state, various state motor pools, and the feasibility of contracting out part of these functions. I don't want to belabor the issue, but I really do appreciate the participation of the DAS folks, and would like to turn it over to them.
Thank you, Randy, and I too want to express my thanks. You mentioned it, but the private sector folks, would you expound, Randy? You meant more than I did, but the private sector folks, before we begin with Mr. Petty, the private sector folks that helped us.
We did have several individuals come down from the Portland area. They were representatives from Budget and Enterprise, set up by Al Elkins of the rental car agencies, representative rather. They were very helpful in providing kind of a sounding board to the working group as to the direction we should be going and some of the issues that we should look into. I think it was a very productive session.
Thanks, Randy. Good morning, Mr. Petty. How are you today?
Good. For the record, my name is Vivian Petty. I'm the Deputy Administrator with Transportation Purchasing and Print Services Division of DAS. As Randy said, we had a number of meetings where we were, I think, fortunate to be able to establish a dialogue with private rental firms to get a better idea of how they do business and talk about how we do business. We looked at costs from a variety of ways, and one of the things that we came very clear to us is that this is a topic that needs a lot more study to really understand where the costs are and comparing what the potential benefits might be from rental vehicles, and if in fact they're less expensive. We did, as I said, we looked at it from several different directions, and what we could tell after that was that we need to look at it a little bit more. I think this committee will do that. There are DASH A7 amendments that expand the group on the committee to include another state agency operating fleet, as well as a customer agency representative, as well as a member of the labor organization representing the people at the pool. And we think that makes this bill a stronger bill and brings more folks to the table for this discussion. They all need to be there. So with that, the Department of Administration Administrative Services supports this bill with the DASH amendments.
Morning, Bill.
Morning, Senator. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Bill Brawley, Assistant to Mike Greenfield at DAS. Dugan's right, I think it's good work. I think we did a better job of understanding why a lot of us have been using the same words and not understanding the other side of the table over the years on this issue. So we're very much looking forward to the work this interim and see if we can't figure out what really does make sense. So
thank you, Bill, and I appreciate you and Mr. Dugan spending all the time you have with my staff and with myself in trying to see if there's a better way we can do this, and I do appreciate all the time and effort you've both put into this. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Based on my experience of working for the state for 5 years and using state cars periodically, there might be one other piece to this that the interim task force could take a look at, and that is direct reimbursement to employees for the use of their own car rather than using motor pool vehicles. And I don't know how widespread that is throughout state agencies, but without asking this group to do more, it seems that you forged a pretty good compromise across a lot of interests to be able to sit down and at least have the discussion. I offer that for your consideration only, that it might be one more piece of the information that would be useful in making a recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. We appreciate that. The other thing that I hope this task force will be able to look at is, if you remember when we first did the Department of Administrative Services budget at the beginning of this session, we heard from risk management about the high amount of accident rates in our universities. Our top two universities were with the highest record of accidents, and some other agencies. That also is a big concern as to whether they are operating their fleets, which are not part of the DAS fleets, in a manner in which maybe they could have some assistance from DAS, or maybe DAS should be operating those motor pools as well. So there's a lot of things that we definitely need to look into.
Sure.
Representative Butler.
So as I understand, and perhaps between Mr. Brawley and Mr. Petty, they could maybe help identify the scope of the task force could be broadened well beyond just the issue of, and it's my understanding that this is to examine and make a recommendation relative to the next legislative assembly relative, and to an interim committee relative to the state-owned motor vehicles. And the concern, I guess my question is, What is the scope, and would the scope be broad enough? If I see the provisions here on the staff measure summary, provisions of this measure charge the task force on motor pool efficiency with the responsibility of studying the cost of acquiring, operating, maintaining, storing, repairing, replacing state-owned operated passenger vehicles and the feasibility of replacing state-owned passenger vehicles with rental vehicles for the conduct of state business. So could the scope be broad enough to include what Representative Johnson has indicated, and could it actually identify, and I assume that it would touch base on issues such as the relative costs and inherent risk factors in operating vehicles owned by, or a vehicle owned by the employee who is, who otherwise would have checked the vehicle out of the state motor pool, checked the vehicle out of the state motor pool. So the question is, how broad will the scope go beyond what just is stated on the SMS?
Mr. Chairman, I think that as we look at costs, we're going to bring this cost down to some kind of a number. The cost has to come down to a number. One of the ways that we've been looking at it, at least here to date, has been on a cost per mile basis. And it's possible to compare what the reimbursement rate is, if that's a cost associated with renting a vehicle for a state agency, to what the fleet rental costs are versus what the private rental costs are. So if you bring it down to a cost per mile, so we're talking apples to apples to apples, I think it's possible in this study to do that. One of the things we found as we met with the private rental firms over the past few months is that they tend to look at it on a per-day basis. So one of the things that we've been trying to do is model our numbers to also show it on a per-day basis. But I think it is within the purview of this committee to ask the question about what the cost per mile is as well. And that would give you the ability to take a look at what the reimbursement rate is, which is really based upon an IRS number, and compare that to what it would be on a cost per mile if we were to rent these vehicles, on a cost per mile if we were to continue to operate them.
Follow-up, Madam Chair. In that process, not just what the IRS tells us the reimbursement per mile vehicle per vehicle mile reimbursement may be, but also the question of expanding the scope sufficiently so that we knew what the risk was through DAS risk management division.
Chairman Butler, one of the things that I think we have to do in this analysis, and we have gone back in these last couple of months and accomplished this within our own review of this, is to figure out what our damage and accident claims are with respect to risk management, so that when you're talking about a true cost, you understand that if there is a cost to the agency or a cost to DAS related to operation of these vehicles from what's called an insurance standpoint, and then any claims payout as related to accidents that have taken place with those, that those have to be factored in, and we would intend to analyze those costs and make sure that they're made a part of it. We have done that in this last go around, these last couple of years.
Excellent, Madam Chairman. That's what I was desirous of, that the scope would include the full costs, including the costs of our self-insurance, if you will, through risk management in that process, so that we could identify when we lease them from a private company or an interim provider of some sort versus the state employees actually providing their own vehicle, so that we know the true cost all the way around. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Butler. I think one of the things that some of the meetings that I sat in on is the storing of vehicles, where we have vehicles, the purchasing of vehicles, how we disperse and sell our vehicles, all those things have been discussed in the last few months and will be part of the discussion in addition to other fleets within the state. Good morning, Senator. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. If there's no further questions, and Rich, would you like to come up, please? You're part of this, and we'd like to have you explain. Randy, if you wouldn't mind staying in case we have any more comments. Thank you, gentlemen. We've had excellent cooperation until now.
Short of not providing Richard.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
Introduce yourself for the record.
For the record, Rich Peppers with the Service Employees International Union, SEIU 503 OPEU. And thanks for calling me up. I don't actually want to add a whole lot of substance to this, just to say that from the perspective of our members, we're concerned with issues around such as what was raised by Representative Johnson. If in the event that this study led to further suggestions of people using their own cars, how would that be done? What would the rates be? And what is the risk for them? And what happens to their insurance rates if they use their cars for state purposes? And then, of course, from the perspective of the people who work in the pool, we have a direct interest, too, to see what comes out of the study. So we appreciate a position on the study committee and also appreciate working with Randy and with you, Senator, and anybody else that has an interest in this topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. And there has been in the past when we've wanted to examine and look at the motor pool. And a few years ago, there was a lot of discussion about the use of private automobiles and reimbursing public employees. And there's many public employees who do not have adequate transportation to get them to and from work. And so that's not been the intent of this bill, but because there had been talk about that in the past, there was a lot of alarm about that. And if someone certainly has a private vehicle, I'll tell you, getting into this, you see all kinds of different uses. If you've got a brand inspector in far eastern Oregon who's brand inspecting in the daily basis of several hundred miles a day, it's not somebody that you can check in and out of a motor pool in a few minutes. So it's there's a lot of different uses. Anyway, thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Anything further from the committee? And Rich, you're okay with the amendment?
Yes, I am. I don't think there have been any last-minute ones that have come up.
Yeah, just the day 7.
Right.
You're okay with those. Okay. And thank you, Rich,
thank you
very much. And Mr. Petty or Bill, are you fine with the amendments? Since this came out of the Public Affairs Committee, and the chair has not yet seen the Dash 7 amendments, and the chair is not in the building yet, we are going to have a work session tomorrow. And the work group is agreeable. Yes.
Could we go ahead and open the work session now, and then pending the approval of Dash A7, go ahead and then carry over the
carry it over tomorrow. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 817, excuse me. And just finished that we are, everyone that has worked on the work group is okay with the Dash 7 amendments, and all we have to do is have Chairman Duncan sign off on them, and then we can go into work session tomorrow and adopt them. Do we know if we have anything else on the agenda tomorrow? Because I don't want to get everybody here at 8 just to do that.
I'm not aware of, Madam Chair,
I thought under Senate rules that chairman of substantive committees did not have to approve substantive changes in the Ways and Means Committee.
Well, I don't know. Representative Whit, LFO Dallas has informed me that they do.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, with respect to your comments, Representative Whit, I'm not that conversant with the rules. It's just been the practice of the Ways and Means subcommittees to, a matter of courtesy and like, to get the approval of the chair of the committee, whatever the.
If you don't mind, why don't we just take a quick recess and we'll check. Do you mind?
Madam Chair, I mean, it's obviously it's up to you, but I have been told under House rules if the bill starts in a House committee, then the chairman of the substantive committee has to approve any substantive changes, but that is not true if the bill starts in the Senate. Representative Butler knows about that.
I'm getting mixed signals from my leadership as Representative Whit.
I hope you're right, Representative Whit. I'd like to pass this up. I don't have to have the committee come back tomorrow. Yes, Senator
Jones. Dallas, is there a difference on the Ways and Means Committee rules between the House and the Senate side?
There shouldn't be
I didn't think there was. The Senate rules are silent on what happens in Ways and Means.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, as I said, I'm only speaking from past practice. It's been a practice to go and just get the chairs.
Yeah, you're right, though, and past practice does carry a lot.
I'm going to have a five-minute recess, and let me see if I can find out real quick.